In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the wake of the Holocaust, there was a wave of theologians, both Jewish and Christian, who began to espouse the cultural death of God. It was even famously on the cover of Time magazine. The thought was that in the aftermath of unspeakable suffering, it was hard to proclaim the active presence of a loving God in our world. While recounting a scene in which he had watched a Jewish child die in Auschwitz, Nobel laureate and Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel asked in his book, The Trial of God, "Where was God as that child hung from that tree?" Years later, the German theologian Jürgen Moltmann responded in his work, The Crucified God, writing, "God was there, weeping and hanging on that tree beside him, exactly like he did 2,000 years ago." This day is unlike all other days in our church calendar. On this one day, we do things we don't even do at funerals. No celebration of the Eucharist can occur today. It's forbidden. We will share in a communion from the reserve sacrament, but it will be marked by the stark lack of celebration. We read from the Gospel of John, but we stop just short of where we would get the good news. And so we don't celebrate it either. We cut the normal responses because the writers of the prayer book force us to acknowledge the feeling of the day. We cannot participate as members of the crowd chanting, "Crucify him," and still say, "Praise to you, Lord Christ." The hypocrisy would be too much. We sit here and we hear how the disciples fled, betrayed and denied because it was easier. How leaders condemned a man they knew was innocent because it secured their own place of power. And how normal people went along with it because there was too much anger and hatred in their hearts. And tonight, we admit that we are them. Tonight, our act of devotion and our offering is simply to stare upon the bare wooden cross, to acknowledge the weight of its reality, and to lift up all those in our prayers of petition for whom this is still their present reality. Tonight, we do these things in solidarity with the suffering. We do it because God chose to enter into our world in the form of Jesus of Nazareth, and to suffer with us. And we have chosen to follow him and to be the embodiment of God, still active and alive, showing compassion in our still suffering world. Too often we choose to still abandon him. We choose to abandon him in the face of the refugee, suffering with no home, no safety, and no one to ease the pain. We choose to abandon him as the one languishing in prison, afraid and alone. We choose to abandon him as the hungry child dreaming of being full, the outcast hoping to have her full humanity recognized and accepted, the hopeless mother who knows not how to protect her children from the indignity and depravities of the world. But tonight, we hear the story and we repent. We look on the cross and we sit in solidarity, pledging that we will do better. The disciples lost hope because on this night, they realized that he truly was human. After all, it took his death for them to comprehend that he was truly one of them. but they hadn't yet realized all that that fact meant. It meant he would really know all they could go through, and thus the God of the universe could truly empathize. It meant that they were never alone in their suffering, because he had been there. What they didn't know yet, but we should, is that this meant their suffering would have a redemptive chapter. Tonight's service is an end of sorts. It's the culmination of the incarnation. It is Jesus becoming fully human and taking on all that that means. It's him being betrayed and condemned, him suffering and being abandoned, him reaching the end of his strength and endurance and dying. That's the fate of humanity, and it means that he was truly one of us. But tonight's service has no close, because this is not a place we leave anyone anymore. God forbids it. We never admit that such tragedy is an absolute end. We gather to say that though this is a natural part of the human story, suffering, abandonment, betrayal, and loss, it is just not the ultimate part of any human story. And it must never be for our faith to be true. We gather tonight because there are countless people in our own community and around the world for whom Good Friday is the reality of their daily lives. And we stand in solidarity with them so that they can hope for Easter morning to break forth in their world. We do it to remember that the tomb is all too real, but it is really a holding place and not a final resting place. We do it because we need to be reminded that we are part of a communion, even when it's not a celebration. That our story is woven into the eternal and universal story, even when there seems no good news in it. In God's act of solidarity with us, he brought to humanity something more. God brought the expectation that we would stand with the suffering just as Jesus did, so that humanity might still believe that God is among us now and forever. Tonight we let Jesus grasp our humanity so that he might pull us into his divinity. It is true that God was suffering with that child in Auschwitz, weeping and hanging on the tree. But tonight we are asked to give a better answer. In the future, when such questions are asked of us, our answer should be, God is here. Let me remind you, holding your hand, weeping with you, and assuring you there is a tomorrow and its story has a different ending. Amen.